From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect.
I always have so much fun going to church. Really enjoyed the services at Calvary Church this weekend. I hope you were able to get out to your church. We've got a big weekend coming up, Memorial Day, last weekend of the month. So I'm hoping everybody, as you listen today, you get inspired to get involved in fellowship with other people. I do want to mention church specifically, Eric Metaxas, who is a well-known author and talk show host out of New York. I've read a number of his books, but he's going to be in the pulpit the 23rd and 24th here at Calvary Church. And I think he's an amazing speaker. He's got a new book coming out. I won't spoil any of that, but he'll be signing copies and there'll be plenty of information available. Eric Metaxas, a guy that really, really inspires a lot of people and is focused on the Word of God. Today we are joined by Toya Kaplan and Christina Kudemeyer with For the One. They are a New Mexico-based nonprofit focused on child sexual exploitation and sex trafficking. So this show may not be one for younger ears. So if you've got little ones around, please be sensitive to that effect. And I'm always just shocked, and I'll start with Christina, that we even have to talk about this.
Yes, I agree completely. Well, hello, everyone. It's great to be here again today. I just kind of want to talk a little bit and jump right in, if that's okay.
Sure.
A little bit about who we are and where we came from. And so a lot of our knowledge and experience came from when we actually had a house for survivors. And so that was between 2015 and 2019. And so that was a really good experience. But to your point, it's unfortunate that we have to have homes for survivors. It's unfortunate we have to know and understand how to help these survivors, but that is a heart that Toya has had for a very long time. She found out about it, and because of some of her experiences, that was something that she really felt led to get involved in, and myself as well. I have been working with Toya now for, 8 or 10 years. It's been a long time now. Yeah. And when I found out about it, I just couldn't not do something about it. And through God's path, we were connected, and now we get to work alongside each other. So for today's topic, we just wanted to talk to you more about kind of how we're transitioning. We've come on the show before, and we've talked about what human trafficking looks like, some red flags, how to identify it, and what to do if you see it. And we're now kind of leaning into wanting to get ahead of that. We really are feeling the need and like this strong desire to help our youth and help our children to understand, and not just our children, but our community as a whole. And that's what our new initiative is all about. And that's the Be the Hero initiative. And so we are really wanting to impact how the community sees this, not just as an issue, but what you can do about it and how they can be empowered to learn how to talk about it, what it means, what is child sexual exploitation, what does that mean, and what does that cover, because it's not just sex trafficking. But
are we talking about children can be exploited that go to La Cueva, El Dorado, Rio Grande, West Mesa high schools? I mean, I'm not just picking on those schools.
Right.
I mean, my point is that any high school student in Albuquerque can be exploited.
Exactly.
In addition, any child, and this is, let me just say, this is not fear-mongering. Our intent is completely not to cause fear, but to empower these families. But we are beginning to go into, and there's later conversation about that, daycares.
Yes.
Middle schools. Elementary.
And you're training educators, you're training daycare workers, you're training teachers.
And families of young children and older children. So our push for a very long time, our four free events that we had prior, and many of our presentations were really geared more for middle, high school, certainly high school, what we've discovered through this journey is that the younger we can get families on board to recognizing what the signs are, how to empower their children, the younger we can get those kids that are 3, 5, 7, 9 in daycare, in elementary, the sooner we can get this information into the hands of frontline points of contact, families, school teachers, school counselors, any educator, you know, any person that cares for children, the sooner we can get this into their hands and their hearts so they can make these conversations with their kids that they care for more comfortable, the sooner we can get out ahead of this.
Both of you probably saw news headlines from our three stations here in the past few days have been that they arrested 6 adult men for messaging minor children with sexually explicit kinds of things. And they did make the arrests. So there's a lot of law enforcement agencies out there working hard and doing different things. But I guess I'm baffled by how much demand there is. I don't know how to say that. I don't want to make this like a marketing thing, but it seems like there's a whole lot more people that are involved in this kind of conduct than I could have ever imagined ever.
Right. And I'll just quickly tap on, because I did some homework, mm-hmm. you know, ahead of time. I don't normally talk about statistics because it's so underreported, but I did think it was important just for us to shake our shoulders for a minute to go, okay, I need to pay attention. And online exploitation is massive, so that is a huge part of it, but it's in person too. We can't look at one and not the other. I guess there's kidnapping, but that's way low on the scale. It's this online and in person. And NCMEC, which is the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, they in 2024, because they're always that like year behind with sending out their stats, but they said they received 20.5 million reports in 2024.
And it's underreported.
Correct. So many, or they're either terrified or shame-filled or whatever. That's representing 29.2 million incidents of suspected child sexual exploitation. So that's just online. That's not even in-person reports. So I'm just saying, we don't want to run around terrified. We want to equip ourselves. And that's what Be the Hero is.
I love it. Equip. And so For the One is a nonprofit 501c3, right. Now focused on education. And you used to have a kind of a focus, if you will, on being vulnerable no more, that education would make it so that you're not vulnerable. But you're now talking about going beyond not only not being vulnerable, but you can be a hero and help. God can use you to save other people.
100%.
Yes. And I think I was going to jump in and kind of circle back to something that Toya said. I think it's so important for us to help our community to be able to talk about this. I've had conversations with parents, and for us, we work in this area, we know the content, we can talk about it, but I recognize how hard it is for parents, for adults to kind of tackle this topic, even to watch the videos that we'll talk about a little bit later. It's heavy content. And so I think us coming alongside our community, our parents, our counselors, our teachers, helping them to know not only how to recognize it, but then how do you talk about it?
So when you talk about a teacher, I want to break this down to people that are listening right now. So this topic and the resources that For the One are providing through the Be the Hero project, and you're going to have a conference in the fall. We'll talk about that a little bit later. I know the plans are in motion now for that. But right now you are offering teachers that might be teaching Sunday school, might be in public school, might be in private school. You're wanting to talk with kindergarten teachers, and you want to educate them about all the different ways, online, in person, how to recognize somebody that might be stalking someone. I know there's ways you can tell if a child is withdrawing, and so you guys have a good handle, and does it cost a lot of money for you to provide this education?
It costs money. Yes, and it varies depending on what we're doing. So when we have an event, of course, that increases. And our biggest new cost, which I'm going to go ahead and plug right now, is that we are fundraising and will be having an event, our first big event ever, to raise money, especially to give a book set that we believe very strongly in. It's Body Safety for Children and Families of Children. A four-set book that you can actually sit down and read with your kids after you vet it. But we're raising funds for that. So when we table here at Calvary, or if we table at any school where we have low-income families, you know, when you do your big Thanksgiving outreach, we can gift these book sets for free. When we were here for Thanksgiving this year, first of all, I'm tearing up. It was so huge. I've never been to such an organized, wonderful event. We had, I can't even tell you how many families, and they were asking, because we have display books, are these free? Are these free? Because they want to take those books with them to read to their children. So that is going to be our biggest cost moving up, besides the videos we're creating, is this giveaway. And we currently give away two sets. Every time we table, every time we present, we give those books away for families. So you asked.
Yes.
That's a big new thing for
us. Okay, so if somebody's interested in supporting, and this whole interview today is about how people can come alongside. Maybe I should say this to you two. We spend a lot of time on ABQ Connect explaining to our listeners what is going on in the Christian community and people that are doing ministry, that are out there serving the public. So we all understand that there's a cost to helping people, but a lot of times people can come alongside you so that you're not charging the people that need the help, that you're being able to provide services at the expense of people that want to carry on the ministry, and the people that need the ministry are not being burdened. You know, you can say, yes, here's the books, but here's also a relationship. Here's also a way for you to get involved in a class, or here's information online. And I want to make sure that we cover all of that today. We've already gone through the first 10, 12 minutes of ABQ Connect. So we're going to take a break, say thank you to our sponsors. And if you're interested in possibly supporting For the One, you can go to fortheone.one, and there's a giving tab there. You can give securely. And we'll be back with Christina and Toya to talk more about the Be the Hero initiative. We'll be back on ABQ Connect. Toya Kaplan and Christina Kudemeyer in studio with me from For the One Ministries. Ladies, you've both been on a couple times.
Yes.
A couple, three times.
Well, back when I had Freedom House, I started coming then.
Yeah.
We had the home for sex trafficking survivors. Yeah, I was so blessed to come on at least twice.
Well, you've both mentioned how For the One has transitioned and you've changed focus a little bit. But I just see, what I see is that you are listening to people. And you're observing the problem that's out there. Many of us don't really understand that human trafficking of, and I'm even going to say American children, this is not something that happens to foreign nationals. This is not something that happens to undocumented immigrants or something like that. This is happening to children that live in the United States, that go to our local high schools, that go to our local elementary schools. So For the One and the Be the Hero initiative is really an educational focus, and that's where you've changed over the years, is now educating people, Toya.
And prevention.
Yeah.
And so education will cause prevention. And so this hour and whatever we have left with it is very much, because we talked about telling them what you're going to tell them. Well, we kind of skipped past that. But our purpose for this right now is to tell them briefly what is occurring and how to recognize it and what to do about it, basically, with regards to how we can partner with your community.
So what are the misconceptions that families have about child sexual exploitation today?
Well, the first one is what you addressed, which is they think that, well, first of all, that it's those other people. Other people. It's not us. It's other people. And then secondly, that many believe, because of the way media sensationalizes kidnappings, is not to ignore that aspect, but we need to shift over right away to the fact that that is the low end on these occurrences.
And by the way, I want to clarify that, because I have some really close friends that are Native Americans. There are just this unprecedented number of young women that are missing.
Yes,
off
missing
of,
indigenous,
you know,
children.
And you're not minimizing that at all.
Gosh,
you're just
no.
saying as a percentage, though, of all the trafficking, that number's not as great as those being exploited even in our schools today.
And I think to your point, there are obviously within that culture, there are more cases of that within that group. Right? So you can look at it in terms of that to do sort of.
But we sure have to figure out why that's happening.
Oh, my goodness, yes. And where is it happening? You know, where is it, where they're drilling? What's going on, right? More so. And that needs to happen as well. I think that people only staying in that lane is our concern, is that they don't look at the other ways that this is occurring. And also that it's it is not just sex trafficking. This prevention will affect the numbers of children and young adults who are being trafficked, because you're going to get out ahead of it. But it is also recognizing that in 90% plus of these cases of exploitation, these are people that the families know or the children know and trust. So what they need to look for is, instead of being afraid of everything, you need to be aware and engaged and watch for situation regarding who wants or has direct access to your child. Who wants more access? Who has the most access to your child? And keep an eye on that. Do not blindly trust whatever coach, whatever youth pastor, whatever teacher, whatever person is trying to spend time alone with your child. That is one of the biggest misconceptions, is that it's only certain people or only kidnapping, rather than going, let me keep an eye out on anyone that's trying to get more access to my child without me present.
And, of course, these little computers that everybody carries in their pockets now are really creating a big problem. I feel blessed in one sense that I was able to raise my five children without those around.
Yes.
100%.
Absolutely. I would say one of the examples that I have is, you know, kids are carrying those phones around with them. You can't control who has them and what they're looking at. And I know of a situation where a child was, by their peers, shared sexual explicit pictures. And that is something that causes, that's the exploitation that we want to also, you know, be aware of. Like, what, how are the teachers monitoring this? And then what happens after that is shared with a parent or a teacher? If nothing happens, then the child is probably not going to speak up again. And we want to make sure that when they come to us, that we're listening and that we're helping them to deal with not only the fact that it happened, but how do they deal with the ramifications of what they're feeling, the internal things? How do teachers, counselors help the child? And how do parents then help them outside of the home? And I think these are really key issues that sometimes we don't think about. We think, oh, we're sending our child to school and they're safe there. And it's not to say, again, to what Toya was saying, we're not trying to, you know, make this.
You don't want us to live in fear.
Right.
No.
Exactly.
I mean, that's why you're people of faith.
Right.
We don't live in fear.
Right.
Right. Right.
We want to help and equip everybody to understand how to move forward from something like this so it doesn't happen. So you're protecting your children, so your children know, and that's where Be the Hero comes in. Because if you know and you say something, and you're not afraid to say something, you can be the hero for yourself or for your friend, somebody that you know or have seen something. Those are, I think, important things that we want to help.
Well, I want to pick up on something Toya said. She said a very large number of people that are trafficking younger people are people that these young people know.
Mm-hmm.
Term familial trafficking is absolutely terrifying to me. I mean, and that that has a lot more to do than just being poor or impoverished. For you to traffic someone in your family goes way beyond the need for money. It's really, really, really a spiritual problem.
Yes, and generational many times. This is a generational issue that's been passed down. But a big section of that or a cause of that can also be addiction. So people are willing to do whatever within their means to get money for that addiction. So that in, at least in New Mexico, we see that pretty frequently. But generational trafficking is a real thing with families.
How do you notice in a young person, but high school down, so an adolescent down to a child, how do you notice that something like this might be affecting their lives?
Do you want to give kind of some of the standard red flags, and then I can maybe share a story?
Sure.
What I'll say that comes to mind right away is that not every misbehavior in a child is connected to abuse, to exploitation, but many times it can. If you have 1 in 4 girls, it's reported, that are having abuse occur in their childhood, right, or 1 in 20 boys. You need to look for that. If you've got somebody that is repeatedly having behavioral, our society tends to go, well, they're just a problem child. They're just having issues. And I can tell you personally, my behavioral issues were started, or my root of those issues was because at a 4-year-old age, I was molested for the first time. So we need to look at that, look for those cues, and create the culture in our homes where kids can talk to us. So I would say my number one thing, frankly, if they start to isolate, become more quiet, they're not themselves anymore, you're looking at that. But misbehaviors, acting out, anger shifts, let's look for the root. And that may mean biblical counseling. Maybe you need to go with your child to somebody you can trust at your church and start getting to the root of it. Because we love you, let's get to the root of this behavior change.
So if there is somebody that's running a women's group right now, and they might have a broad base of ages, let's say 16 to 80 in this women's group, would For the One go to this group? Obviously, in that age group, there'd be a lot of people that might have children or grandchildren. And would you educate them and take them through a program?
We'll go anywhere.
Yes.
We'll go anywhere. I'm telling you right now, every door that's been opened to us, we walk through it. And either one of us or both of us or one of our other volunteer go and present. And there is zero charge in every case. So, I mean, thank you for saying that. That includes any event, any presentation, any time we table. And I do want you to tell your story about.
Yeah.
I will in just a minute. But I wanted to say to that point, too, that we align what our presentation is going to be to the audience that we go to. So I think, and we're also willing to do trainings. We actually just recently did a training for a ministry. And I think that's really important too, because they needed to kind of know how to work with their mentees. And so we came in and did, I don't know if it was a 2-hour training with them that kind of went over, because trying to get all of that content.
A lot of questions.
Yes,
people
exactly.
People had questions.
But I think, you know, that's the important thing. We want to get out there. We want to give them the audience that we're going to design our presentation. And I just want to say, not just a presentation, but whether it's tabling, whether it's a training, a conference, we're willing to kind of walk through any door that God opens up for us.
I like that. And what was your story?
Oh, yes, my story. So, well, and this is, you know, kind of sad, but I think it's important to kind of connect the dots for people. When we're talking about the red flags, we actually had a counselor that shared a story. This was specific to a young girl that was coming into her school. Her uncle was actually signing her up for school. He was willing to pay anything to get her to go to school. And she was like, no, it's free, you know, just bringing your paperwork and everything. She was from another country, so she didn't speak any English. And in the time period that this counselor had her come into the school. She sat her down. She let her know if there was ever anything that she needed to talk about, that she could come to her. But throughout the time that she saw her, she was very withdrawn, very quiet, didn't really engage or interact with people. And she just seemed sad all of the time. Like, no matter what the teachers did or how they engaged with her, she just seemed really to retreat into herself. Thankfully, the counselor brought her in at one point and sat her down, the girl started telling her about her friend who was from another country, and her parents had sold her to a man, and this man was hurting her. And, the counselor finally asks, is this your friend or is this you? And she goes, we will help you. And so she ended up giving her help, which I think is really, it's an awful story to hear, but that's what we want to equip our counselors and our teachers to do, is to identify things like that so that they can help the children that are coming to them.
Which is why we also say that we disrupt. So yes. This information, if you can't prevent, let's disrupt it. How quick can we disrupt if it already is happening? So that's the second part. Our preference is prevention.
I love the fact that you're going to disrupt the bad guys. Love it. We're talking with Toya Kaplan and Christina Kudemeyer. They are with For the One and is a nonprofit 501c3 ministry. You can look them up and find out more details at For the One, spelled out, .one, O-N-E. The extension is O-N-E. So For the One, .one, and a lot of information about the Be the Hero initiative. When we come back after the break, we'll talk about practical steps parents can take without creating fear. To protect and empower your children. We'll be back right after these messages. For the One.one is the website that you might want to go to find out about child sexual exploitation prevention in schools, families, churches, and communities. Toya Kaplan and Christina Kudemeyer are with us, and they provide a lot of this education along with some of their other volunteers. But as you listen, you might also want to be a volunteer of their organization. You might want to help them financially. I mean, there's different ways that you can get involved in working to support families in this way. And I think that you guys are putting out some good tools. Tell us about the tools that are available, Christina, on your website.
So we actually have 3 videos out there right now. We have 2 that are for grades 6 through 12. The first one is the Big 3. So we talk about CSAM, which is commercially sexual
abuse material.
Abuse material.
Child sexual abuse material.
Yeah. And then trafficking and then sextortion. So it kind of gives a breakdown of all of those. And then the second one is sexual exploitation, which prevention, which is 101, kind of giving them a broader scope of what that looks like. And then we have the third one, which is for adults, which I think is really important and helpful too, and how to disrupt child sexual exploitation. So those are 3 of our videos. We are actually getting ready to create another one. And this is for families and younger children.
I love it. What practical, age-appropriate steps can a person take to protect and empower their children without making them afraid?
So the number one thing, and I'm so happy you asked, is begin today creating a culture in your home where there is open communication, where you begin to talk openly. The deal is to talk early. That means starting today to begin to have calm, trusting, build trust with your kids and not frantic. And just quickly, there, I saw a Instagram, somebody sent it to me, and I believe they sent it to me to go, look at this. It's horrible that all these kids fell for this. But the example in the Instagram where the children were set up after a parent had gone, this could happen and that could happen and you should be careful and you should be afraid and you should be. And then they were set up to fail when they did one of those, not sting operations, but one of those things where every one of those children in the example actually did the thing that the parents said, don't ever do. And then they're screaming at them. They're going, you never, and I told you, and how, and they were fricking and fracking, which obviously it wasn't a Christian thing. The thing is that you can't terrify your children into trusting you and having a culture in your home where they know that you'll believe them if they come to you with something early on, and even practicing those scenarios. It's like, pretend somebody showed you a picture, like eventually you could have that conversation. Tell me, Mom, I saw, let's practice it right now. Dad, I saw a picture. Somebody show me a picture. We want our kids to be in a culture in our homes or in our schools as a teacher where they can come to us and tell us anything and we will believe them. We will not overreact. We have to deal with our adult fear like before the conversations occur, and we show that to them by remaining calm. So you got to ground yourself first. So we're going to talk early, talk often, create a culture of a calm, trusting, they can tell you anything and they won't be punished. They are not the ones who should feel shame. The adult is the one. They're the victim. So that's my number one thing. Create a culture in your family, not just loving, but not fear-based. Let's create a trusting culture where they can tell you anything.
And I just want to add to that, because I think the other component to this is starting young. Like, that's where these books come in as well, is the body safety. Like, how do you talk to them and get them to understand the books that we have? She was saying it's a four book series, and it talks about where hands go, safe and unsafe touch. It talks about body safety rules, the power of no, and then the ABCs of consent. And I think it's so vibrant, these books. They're so and easy to read. They're simple, and they really direct to a younger audience. And I think it's easy for the parents to both talk about and read through, and for the child to understand. And I think then you create a culture or an environment, a home, where you can continue to have those conversations as your child gets older.
Why is exposure? I know a lot of men will say, hey, my, you know, looking at pornography or anything doesn't affect anybody else. It's just me. Why is that not true?
Because we see it with the numbers. I mean, even NCMEC, which I referenced earlier, and CDC, when they talk about how pornography has a very much has to do with how these kids are being exploited, molested, however you want to look at it, is it does feed that. It feeds into that and what they're seeing. And we could do a show on that, and I would love to, is that it very much fuels younger and younger we're seeing, and it's so hard. And I apologize to your listeners, but there are infants. There's a percentage of infants that are now being exploited. And the things that the CSAM, which she mentioned, which is the child sexual abuse material, we're seeing more and more. It's even not just, used to it was mostly adults, right? Mostly adult female. Then it went to younger and younger. We have prepubescent, which we saw with Jeffrey Epstein and that whole thing. And then now we're down where it's like, it's not, what is it called? Unsatiated, whatever it is. It's like it fuels the, I want more, I want different.
Yeah, Bible actually talks about turning you over to the lusts of your flesh. And so the demand is just unbelievable. Christine, I might ask you this, and this is not on our list, so I don't mean to trap you with a tricky question. I don't think it'll feel tricky. Christian people, in my opinion, should not be surprised by sin. We should be ready for it. We should expect it. Because not sinning is the exception, not the rule. You know, we all fall short of the glory of God, right? We all sin. And so, you know, to be aware of all of these things, and there's really practical things like, should a parent look at their 12-year-old's messaging on a daily basis and what's going on their phone, or is that too intrusive?
No, I think what we have to understand as part of this is that the predators out there are very deceptive. And so they go through doing different things and different ways of getting at your children. And they think in a totally different way that maybe parents. So the way parents can kind of protect them is being in your child's business, you know, and knowing what's going on. I think one of the things, we went to a conference recently, and they were talking about how some of these apps on children's phones or on phones just in general seem so innocent, and they can go on for drawing, but there's also a chat room attached to it. And so these little kids can go into a chat room and start chatting with somebody. And unfortunately, predators are using those forums to get to your children. So for you to be engaged in your child and know it's not because you're trying to be a critical parent or you're trying to be overbearing, but it's you're wanting to protect and know who is talking to your child.
Last question of this segment. What do you do if you find out that some adult is messaging your child? What should you do as a parent?
You go right to law enforcement with it. Right away, and don't delete anything. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, they're like, I don't want to see it, and I don't want anybody else to see it. Maybe some inappropriate pictures got shared because kids' brains are not fully developed, so that's going to happen. Just immediately get it to law enforcement, and then go for there and have that phone available so that they can get busy. Internet Crimes Against Children, yes. ICAC. My brain was reaching for that. That is somebody to partner with right away because they may have that on the radar already, that person's information. So you should go immediately to law enforcement so they can start trying to find the root of that to keep other kids. Be the hero.
I love it. Good advice coming from Toya Kaplan and Christina Kudemeyer. They are with For the One. Their website is fortheone.one. We're going to have one more segment, about 10 minutes long, with these ladies until 2 o'clock. So I hope you'll stay with us. We'll be back on ABQ Connect. Don't forget that this next weekend, the 23rd and 24th, author and talk show host Eric Metaxas will be in the pulpit at Calvary Church. Of course, three services. You have one on Saturday night at 6:30, and then again 9 and 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. I think you'll just love listening to Eric Metaxas. He is amazing, amazing writer. He's a biblical scholar, and I really enjoy Eric. He's got a little bit of dry humor. I kind of like that once in a while. We've been talking with Toya Kaplan and Christina Kudemeyer about For the One, and they have a whole education initiative called Be the Hero, about trying to provide prevention for human trafficking and sexual exploitation, especially of children. So tell me, Toya, are you in a position now where you've already got plans for the fall? There's things going on that you have. Tell our listeners how they can get involved.
Okay, so it really is a call to action to the people who are listening. Because we've had a rougher time getting into APS, although January 5th we did do a presentation to 250 school counselors, which was a huge win because they are definitely frontline points of contact. Otherwise, it's been a real battle to get into APS. So we're just like, okay, then we'll go to child cares. We'll go to middle schools, elementaries. We will table there. And that means that we could table when parents show up, like back to school events or PTO, whatever, where parents are going to show up. We can put out a table with all kinds of resources, and then parents can choose to come to us. That still gets prevention information to tons of people. And so if somebody that's listening has the ability to connect us with those opportunities, we would love it. And we'll be cold calling different schools and different daycares to see if we can't get into there. Certainly community centers as well. And so that is a focus for us, is that in the fall, we are going to take this on the road. We're going to take it to them. That's these families, these teachers. And we will present to staff. We'll present to parents. We'll present to kids if they'll allow it. And I mean more like 6th through 12th graders. But that's what our plan is for the fall.
What were the results you experienced going to the Estancia schools and making a presentation? Was that well received?
I can tell you from the principal that she felt very confident. The more that she got to know us, the more confident she got in the careful information that we would prepare and bring. And it shifted each time, including layering in Heather Winklejohn's Smart Student Self-Defense, which we highly recommend that you get your kids educated in how to avoid situations and how to get away from people. So that was one presenter. And then we had the person who's with the DOJ that's over human trafficking. So We did a 6 varied presentations, and the kids were awesome. I'm not saying perfect, because they're kids, 7th through 12th graders, about 280 of them. And we did one different thing each 6 times. I feel like it was really good opportunity. And we're called For the One, right? So it's For the One that it did hit, and they did remember key things from each one. Anyway, we're so grateful for that, and I do believe it's going to make a difference.
I think there's, you know, a variety of different people, but I always like to see high school age students especially see that God wants to do amazing things with their lives. So I'm picturing right now Christina, a 16-year-old high school girl. She notices some behaviors of a little girl that may be the next door neighbor. What action should she take if she suspects she could be sexually exploited or something and be a victim?
So I think the most initial thing would be to go to her parents. Let them know what she's seeing. This was actually something that happened. We had a girl that saw, that knew of her friend, that somebody was reaching out to her saying that they were a Lobo football player and they wanted her to come down. She was actually in Missouri. And so through a series of events, because she took the time to say, this isn't right, something doesn't feel right, she went to her mom went to her friends, and then they connected them to me. So that is a great example of what you can do and the impact that it has, because it saved her from coming. She didn't come down. She started asking the right questions, and that stopped the person right in their tracks.
I want to make sure for just our audience, of course, I'm an old Lobo myself. I just want to make sure people, you were using that as an example. We don't have Lobo athletes
exploiting
people. But at the same time, what you're talking about is, I'm going to use the word bad guys. The bad actors, the bad guys are going to impersonate a group that has a lot of credibility. So in Albuquerque, that's going to be the Lobos. In New Mexico State, it's going to be the Aggies, right?
Exactly.
They're always going to try to be that figurehead that somebody really wants to know, but they are a proverbial wolf in sheep's clothing, aren't they?
Yes, absolutely. Another example was a group of kids were playing online. And I think that's another thing that I just want to mention is online playing video games and stuff like that, you're exposed to so much. And these group of kids were actually, they had somebody contact them saying they were the ones that created this video game and they were having these conversations. And so immediately when I heard that, my radar went up because I'm like, well, that doesn't sound right. And so I told the parents, you better be thinking about this and asking questions and seeing what's going on. And I think those are some of the things that you could be looking for in these situations.
I love it. Toya, what do you see in our last minute together today? What's the Be the Hero initiative and what do you have planned for the fall?
Well, that is very much going to be the reaching out into the community with whatever opportunities open up to us. So we will, like I said, we'll go table, we'll present wherever, whatever. But we are also specifically having an event on November the 14th in Santa Fe, and it will be at the Department of Public Safety.
Yes.
It's the people that train
Department
law enforcement.
Yep.
In Santa Fe, they've offered their training building or room, which is going to seat about 180 people. We will have our first ever Santa Fe event. Our prior events have all been, the last 4 have been in Albuquerque. So that's a big thing we'll be preparing for there. And that's our eyes are set on that.
And people can get more details at ForTheOne.One.
Correct. And if they want to try to volunteer, we would love to get volunteer to begin to train to be people who could table for us to go into schools. We may have 2 tables on the same day that we need to staff people, or not even staff it with volunteer, right?
Yeah.
We need volunteers.
Toya, you mentioned early that you've had some experience having been attacked in some way. But you're out there doing ministry. Have you seen God use people that have had been victims to do amazing things to help other people?
Oh, over and over. And my example currently is that you may know people in your own life that became specialists in some area because either they had been very sick or a family member have, and they devoted the rest of their lives to prevent that illness or to help with that illness for the rest. That's what people who are survivors of abuse, that's what I see us doing, is like, that's what we specialize
ABQ
in now.
ABQ Connect. Be the hero. Is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.